Welcome to CFO Talk. I'm your host, Steve Rosewald, Chief Learning Officer at CFO.University. Joining us today from the beautiful town of Cork, Ireland, is Andrew Todd, the founder and host of the Strength in Numbers Show, a podcast focused on mentoring finance professionals heard in over 170 countries across the globe. Andrew is also the president of Finetics. Today, we are following up on the Finance talk Andrew gave at the Finance Summit last September on the power of team-led transformations to accelerate digital outcomes. Welcome, Andrew. It's great to have you on the show.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Love what you're doing with CFO.University and happy to help in any way we can.
We've had some great conversations, and you've always been a big part of my whole data analytics world and helping me understand how CFOs should use data analytics in the FP&A roles and their general business roles. So I really appreciate all that you've done for me and CFO.University. Which brings me to this question. Last year, you talked about how CFOs can use people, really, in finance transformations, especially when it comes to implementing strong data analytics. And so what you did is you discussed two types of transformations in your finance talk. And I'll call them this. You didn't quite call them the same thing, but I'll call it the traditional and the modern. Do you remind us how each of those works and why the modern approach is more successful?
Yeah. Again, this is just my opinion. I'm sure there's plenty of consultants out there who would disagree, because the first traditional approach to this is, again, to reach very well-known consultancy brand or sometimes boutique ones as well. And they'll come in with their consultants and, how do you say, they bring in a whole team around it. They'll probably look to establish a team within an organization at a high level, tend to bring in some boilerplate, some standard templates, which is good because they know where to look to identify some efficiency opportunities, build a business case around those, and then aim to help drive a program that helps the organization become world-class. If there's any money left, they might decide to invest in the finance team that's already there. Because when you look at such programs, and this isn't me, I think this is the AICPA numbers. If you follow the money, 59% of those transformation programs goes external to the organization. But if you think about what really gets put back into the company or organization, it's just over 40%. Seems like a lot of outflow. And the intellectual property, does it really stay because it's consultants again, so it leaves a bit. So it just feels it doesn't become embedded. And that, for me, is a traditional approach. And probably sometimes why consultants get such a hard, raw deal, even though they've got this fantastic expertise and value to offer. So maybe it's that lack of skin in the game, I think, is more that traditional approach. Whereas the new, more modern approach is typically the one that's got skill in the game. It starts with the existing resources of an organization, because another thing with traditional programs, tend to have some rationalization of team members, but starting with the talent that's there already, tries to understand how the talent at the moment fits in with existing business priorities and actually does that work internally. It's not rocket science. People in, particularly in finance, accounting, FP&A, very smart people. We can figure this stuff out. It's not rocket science. Where we might need a bit of help is then understanding, okay, for those gaps, can we fill them with our existing talent or perhaps some technology or some tactics, different processes to go get there? And the bit that's often missing, and this goes for traditional programs as well, is that tracking of progress towards transformation programs are trying to achieve, not just around efficiencies, but delivering results that matter to the business, being effective. That's the big thing for me, is there's so many teams out there back then and even now that are spinning their wheels doing stuff, but are they really being effective? And that is, I think, probably why people become disengaged from such programs. And it's so sad to see, because there's, in finance and accounting, so much opportunity to go and drive values. We bring on guests and strengthen the numbers. So there's loads of ways we can drive value for organizations, particularly with transformations in this digital age. And it just seems there's no need for people to disengage. So that's why I go with a modern approach. You have to start with the talent in the team and work from there, as opposed to top down building these teams traditionally.
The takeaway, and I remember this from last year that was so powerful, is that idea that the outside investment versus the internal investment. That's a big, huge area. And you really stress that. Make sure you're investing in your team, not in a bunch of consultants, that when they leave, a lot of that technology or that know-how goes with them, because that creates more engagement. Perfect, perfect. A lot of logic.
Yeah, I suppose it's also alignment of objectives. If you're a consultancy, like, are you... your incentives really aligned to solving the problem? Yes, to some degree, but how many times you bring back consultants in again in the future for another problem or something that could have or should have been solved the first time if it was better defined. And the consultants are only working within their own terms of reference. As you said, these are experienced people. They definitely know what they're talking about. But I don't think, how do you say, you can't beat practitioners, people who are already there, know the business, just maybe need to think with a slightly different mindset, perhaps more modern mindset, and believe that they already have a lot of what's needed to be successful. And at least it keeps that intellectual property within the organization and learning there.
That's a great point. And then the idea that you measure it too, making sure that you find those outcomes, measuring the outcomes. If you don't do that, then how can you define success and celebrate those successes?
Which is interesting, isn't it? It's like, that's, if you think about finance, we grew out of accounting, accountability for transactions, transformation programs. How are we managing our accountability around that? How many people are measuring the value it's driving, or how our accuracy is improved, or how's it improved team member engagement or customer satisfaction? How many? And actually, I say how many because I know there's not many.
That's a great point. We need to look in the mirror on those.
Right.
We try to measure the outcomes of our businesses and all that. And then a huge operation like a transformation, a digital transformation, maybe we're forgetting some of our own learnings.
And I wonder if that's what it is, Steve. I think you're right. Maybe just that digital is probably knocking us sideways. We have these great skills already. If we just maybe thought a bit harder about it. And again, there's so many smart people in accounting and finance, FP&A, treasury. There's so many. We just need to apply our brain matter to this digital world rather than get distracted by, oh my God, this is something new. We've been dealing with digital since the 70s, since computers started coming around. Yes, change has picked up or whatever, and it's got faster and accelerated and so on. But we've been dealing with this for a long time. I'm sure we can find a better way through this.
And that whole, speaking of that whole area, you have a new way. And I'll call it the traditional versus the modern approach of the finance organization. And you take this pyramid idea and you combine pyramids to make a diamond, which is a really great visual, the way to think about it. But talk about pyramid versus diamond finance organization, how that shift is helping finance teams.
Yeah, definitely. So a lot of people watching in or even listening into this, the traditional organization was shaped like a pyramid. Your CEO or your leader at the top, even a finance organization, your CFO at the top, then you have the senior management team. So if you imagine the amount of people underneath, they spread out. And that diamond typically sat on some top of some sort of infrastructure, some data processes and so on. And what I was thinking, Steve, was like in this digital age, maybe we need to deconstruct that pyramid a bit more differently. So I broke it down into four different pyramids. And three of them are upright and one is actually inverted. And it's the two in the middle that give you that diamond shape. So if I go through them, you've got the team and talent, which is that diamond. It's the two sort of mini pyramids. And for me, that is the rock, really. That is the heartbeat. That is what really helps enable the digital transformation. But if you look at the shape of the diamond, you still have the leader at the top and the team culture at the top and so on. But the talent is inverted. So you've less more junior levels of staff compared to the more modern pyramid, which has more junior members, then it gets less and less as you go more senior in terms of number of staff. And the reason my mind in that is, well, if we're using digital properly, we shouldn't need so many junior team members to the monotonous, repetitive tasks that perhaps some of our more automated robots or artificial intelligence could perform on our behalf. And also the processes, you think we would have evolved as a function within our organizations, particularly with processes around business partnering and so on, and some tactics around that. And for me, if you've got your tactics or your technology, which are the other two sort of pyramids supporting the diamond, then I think you've got a nice robust structure that can support the diamond, really make an impact in our organizations in a more modern sense. For me, in my mind, is yes, the people structure is no longer a pyramid shape, but it's more of a diamond shape. And not only it's not just a sort of a play on the fact that it's a nice diagram. For me, it also is the valuable area in there. And it's like back to the point on resources, rather than pour resources externally from a finance team or an organization, pour it into that diamond. It's probably the most valuable part of our pyramid. So really we need to look after, invest it, polish it, make sure it's well looked after. Otherwise the rest of the organization won't shine bright like that diamond.
That's a great visual. I will find a way to get that visual in there and the way you described it really helps you even think, you know, you're supported. It's really, a diamond won't stand on itself. It'll fall on its side.
But
you supported that with the tactics and the technical part. You support it with that, and you're supporting, you know, the talent and the team part And I think it's really a good way for us to look at it. The idea that you're reducing that those repetitive tasks with technology and with tactics and your real quality work is just a really good way to think about it as we're developing our transformation plans and our human capital plans to go with it.
Yeah.
And
the cool thing is, Steve, is like that then does free up talent to work on the problems that are most, how to say, pressing for our organizations. Yes, you have less junior staff, but more than likely you'll probably have as many or slightly more in the sort of middle to more senior layers interacting with organizational leaders, budget holders, other functions or cross-functionally trying to figure out what are the main pain points. How can we bring our finance intelligence and our training and our independence to bear so we can make sure that the organization has the resources it needs to deliver the objectives that it needs to be delivering? And that for me seems a bit more of an engagement model and proactive model as opposed to reactive. And I think that's where the technology and the tactics we were discussing should really be freeing us up to do more of that.
You closed your BIDEX talk last year by briefly discussing Fanatics as an organization system that you used for the transformation. And you followed that with an analogy for developing a team using a trade group that originated in the 13th century. So you always bring history into our county. It's a 500-year-old industry, but I know you go back to the Babylonian days and things like that. But in this case, you went back to the 13th century and talked about how we could use those tradespeople, which you'll have to tell us about them, to develop our teams today. So can you help me through that?
It was a guild of people who used to work with diamonds, professionals with diamonds back in the day. I think it was around the 13th century or something like that. And they realized if they came together and started sharing their skills, they could build a guild around it. Because as much as diamond shaping and polishing and creation was growing or whatever, there was, people had their own techniques. And if we just brought that together, we could establish a profession around it of an art and a bit of a science. And for me, fine, I could see the parallels with finance and accounting and FP&A that, yeah, a lot of what we do can be broken down to processes and technologies that are fairly standard, but there's also a bit of a craft involved in trying to apply them. And again, in terms of the approach I was taking with Fanatics and the teams I was leading as well, we have an analogy for craft called crafted. That's how you drive more value. It's crafting value, or value is crafted in organizations. And each letter in that crafted represents a higher rung on the ladder to get to higher levels of value that we can drive in finance. So it's pulling in that sort of craftsperson angle as well. If you align it with the pyramid, you obviously have the talent. You have the guild, which is the team led by sort of someone who's making sure that we've got the right technology and tactics and we're pulling those together. But also the sharing of the technologies, the tools that are being used to better polish those diamonds and how to do it better. And then the tactics, the processes that people are using, that what they're finding is working and not working. And having resources, again, like strength in the numbers, which is sharing stories out there of how people are navigating this digital environment we're finding ourselves in, and what they find that works, what doesn't, what's exciting them. Some interesting stories along the way, different industries, different countries. Obviously, we've got listeners in over 170 countries. If I break down people we interview and the guests we've had on from all the major continents, nearly 50-50 male, female. But we measure these things. And that's another key thing as well, is making sure we're measuring what matters, because what gets measured gets managed. And I feel, again, in accounting and finance, we're very good at measuring the business. Maybe we're not so good at measuring our impact on the business. And that's a shame, because we're doing all this good stuff, this crafting of value. And are we even measuring it? Direct impact as well as indirect impact. And it's a shame. But that's what I'm hoping for in this analogy with the DeMontiers, is that they really prided themselves on sharing this information, measuring what was working, what wasn't working, developing some tactics and tools around that to share with the talent that existed in the profession, and the sort of the team was the guild keeping it all together. So that was how I aligned it with the pyramid, or the four deconstructed pyramids I was mentioning earlier.
It makes so much sense when you think about how to expand influence, how to expand our impact. Is this guild concept is reaching out to our business partners, and it's really bringing them into our fold. And you mentioned something else I find really interesting, this idea that we can't measure our own value. We have a hard time measuring our own value. I'll throw out a challenge, and I've tried to do this for a number of years, and I haven't been able to successful at it. But if you think, what's one of the things CFOs are known for in finance teams? It's creating an audited financial statement. So we go out and pay a bunch of money for an audited financial statement. And we know we paid for them. We can say that was $150,000 for that audit statement. But do we really know the value? So what's the value of a financial statement? It's such a fundamental question, but it's a hard question to answer. We know we paid for it, but what's it worth? So that's a challenge I'll throw out to everyone listening today is what is the value of your financial audit? And I can't wait to get some more. Hey, that's one way we can measure what we're doing. And we just don't have a good way.
Exactly. And again, we say no good way. I agree with you. I don't think there is a good way. But you know what? Let's put a bit of creativity and a bit of innovation behind it and start throwing out ways that people might have tried to solve it. Like what we did with Phonetics when we were applying it was we gathered testimonials. Yeah, it might be hard to put a financial value on it. It's hard or soft. That was another thing as well. Or direct or indirect. Was it driven out of finance or was it a collaboration across the organization in terms of driving the value? But even testimonials, there could be some keywords in there that are value to our business partners and stakeholders in the organization or externally as well, that we can do more of more often, or things that they didn't like that we can avoid. Or again, if we wanted to get more scientific and bring some numbers to bear on it, maybe we run some customer sat surveys or net promoter scores or something that go off the back of it. And again, like it comes back down to engagement. I was reading in a Harvard Business Review article that apparently organizations where community involvement was higher had better or more engaged team members or employees. So I said, why not introduce that into Phonetics? Because it's all about getting people to engage in their work. So I actually did that. And people do engage and they were updating the system in terms of this is how much time I do in a community initiative. And we used to give diamonds out for their engagement in the tool. And then again, people doing more community involvement work, they're recording it. It means you can report it up and you can see the impact and compare between teams that are doing more or less of it. And actually it does bear out in the statistics that teams that are doing more involvement are driving more value and are more engaged in their work. So this is what happens when you can start measuring stuff that is a bit fluffy and try and put some stake in the ground. It's amazing how quickly you can innovate and move on. And this isn't rocket science. We have the skill base. If we could figure out how to measure transactions within an organization and put some financial values on them, which is what money is taking account for stuff, then maybe we can hold ourselves more accountable for doing better with these transformation programs, so on, and we'll see the returns better for not just our teams, but our organizations and ourselves as well.
I'm sold. And I think I just heard you agree on a project with me to figure out how to figure out what a financial statement is.
Yeah, we start building. Yeah, you know,
we're going to use Phonetics. I'm going to get it. That's great. No, that's so right. Sometimes it's hard, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. Sometimes it's hard.
Yeah, and then when you get someone who's smart, Alec, say like from sales, maybe the sales officer saying, "Oh, why would we do an audit? What's the point in that?" Actually, there's a lot of reasons here, and you can say backed it up here with all these reasons why.
You have one last piece of advice that you could give finance leaders or CFOs to help them on their digital transformation journey.
I suppose for me, Steve, it probably comes back to that diamond piece, which I think is overlooked. It's that combination of team and talent. And team is leadership, really. It's setting the culture, because what gets done on a day-to-day basis, whether it's part of a transformation or just trying to deliver the day-to-day responsibilities we have to in accounting and finance, is that set by the team. That's set by the tone, right? And again, if we have more leaders out there who are structuring environments that says, actually, you know what? I'm going to do my best to make sure that the money we spend as an organization is invested best we can in the team. And the technologies and tactics we bring in there are to support the team, that diamond, to make that diamond shine more brightly. I think it's like a Rihanna song. Is it Shine Bright Like a Diamond or something? That's the message I'd probably look for folks to leave on, is actually, yeah, to help your team shine bright like a diamond. What can you do from a technology perspective or tactics perspective to help them and have it driven from the team and the talent, the need of the team and the talent, not necessarily from what some consultants are saying, or just because we need to tick a box to make it look like we're doing something from a transformation perspective. And if traditional hasn't been working, maybe think about it in a bit more of a modern way, just with some of the ideas we've been discussing. And I'd add a second point, what gets measured gets managed. So measure what matters. And then at least that way you can demonstrate the value and build momentum and keep doing more of the right things more often.
I really want to thank you for being on the show.
A pleasure, Steve, as always. I had fun, and come here. Have a great rest of the day.
That wraps up today's CFO Talk.